You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Fantasy Sports Today, FST Overtime. Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, holding it down with the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. Wall Street, Matt Modica. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. I wish I had somebody that loved me the way that young lady loved Kevin in that DKMS commercial. It's not the case, though. Fantasy executive would be all right. Coming up on the program today, Matt Modica takes out his red pen. I will be navigating, and we will be recapping the League of Alternative Baseball reality draft as our guy, our very own all-in kid, Jake Seeley, goes for the repeat. At the end of the program, Matt Modica will grade his team. We'll look at his bats. We'll look at his pitchers. We'll look at some of the other guys that he took flyers on later in the draft. Talk about the entire draft experience. Today is dedicated to the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. Jake, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Corey?
Doing well. Thank you very much. So, how you feeling this morning? I saw a little bit of your commentary on Twitter last night, but so far, morning after, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I know I'm lacking, and I'm lacking in speed, but I had fun with it last night because, as I tweeted last night, I'm playing with house money. I won last year. Now I want to have some fun. And, you know, the draft actually fell. I was planning to have fun with it and go with, like, guys that I wanted to take a little bit of different strategy this year and see how it worked out, you know, just because I can see now. But also how the draft ended up falling. Like I said, well, I tweeted this too. My team is going to be the funnest of fun. I could be done by June and looking at football, and that's a certainty.
And it might not be a bad thing.
There is some risk here, but, you know.
Some. A lot.
Well, that's the route you went down, but we'll discuss in detail.
So, Matt, I was seeing some of the commentary as the draft was going on last night. Saw some of the commentary on the draft this morning when I was on Twitter. I had seen, like, what a lot of people are saying, that some of the experts didn't look like they were prepared yet. Is that true?
Look, I'm not adverse to going out and getting your guy. It does seem, it's an industry draft. It's different from the high stakes formats. There was some guys that did go quite a bit higher than I've seen. And okay. I've done like
you're being too nice, Matt.
Seven or eight drafts. It's kind of like, I'll use this. It's like New York and New Jersey. New Jersey is always like a few years behind New York.
Yeah.
So, and it all kind of comes.
So, Jake, he's being nice.
He's being way too nice. I was sitting there during the draft thinking, like, what the hell are some of these guys doing?
Well, I think the thing here is, too, is people in these type of drafts, when they're on the radio and stuff, they want to make...
You want to win the draft.
It's not even win the draft. No, they want to make statements. They want to make statements and say, you know, I took this guy at so-and-so price and stuff like that. And I do want to talk about some commentary when we get back on it.
All right, cool.
I was listening on my way back to Manhattan.
You was in Staten Island last night?
Yes, I had chilling some things on the island.
Chilling with the fam.
You know who you didn't hear on the show, right, Matt?
Who I didn't hear on the show?
I was not available to talk about my draft.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I do want to get into, like I said, I do want to get into the commentary because I found it pretty odd what certain people say.
Mine's playing tricks on me. It's the jam right here. All right, so here we go. When we come back on the other side, I want to get into this commentary. Then we'll look at some all-in bats. It's FST Overtime, breaking down labor right here on the network.
Friends, if you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
YouTube Live, FNTSY Radio, FST Overtime. Everybody in the YouTube chat.
Are you a fan of this, Corey?
Swipe right. this is not really my era right here. I logged on. I had an account. I logged on like once or twice, and I was just swiping, trying to see if anything hit.
I would be so lost right now. It's been so long.
Corey,
what's up, Jake?
You got the G-Chat open?
Hold on one second. Yeah,
you,
I do.
You guys, both of you, you guys want to see the best Valentine's ever? I just put in the G-Chat for you. It's the NFL memes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. These are so terrific. These are great. These are honestly probably the best things I've seen all day. You looking at them? Did you pull them up?
Yeah, I do have them like, pulled up.
Josh McDaniels, I'll be your Valentine, maybe.
Yeah.
The Browns? Did you read the Browns? Are you the number one overall pick because I want to screw you over and over?
Nice. What the Cowboys one say? Sorry I haven't got you anything for Valentine's. And sorry I haven't got you anything for Valentine's in 22 years. That's cute. Had a couple misses in there. Lions won. Hope you aren't looking for a ring. That's funny.
Look at Tom Brady's. I don't think you can say that one in the air.
Oh, the first Tom Brady one is I'll drop everything to be with you.
The second one. Go to the second page.
And the second Tom Brady one is, I don't see that one. You must be in limbo.
Top left. I'll let you deflate my,
Oh, yeah.
Did you read the Bills?
Oh, look at the Dak Prescott one. I need you more than I do in Ezekiel Elliott. Very funny.
That is a good one.
I love you almost as much as Andy Dalton. That is the Buffalo Bills one. So there you go, right there.
How about Pete Carroll? I was gonna make a run for your Valentine, but I'll pass.
So good times right there. Retweet that for the people, Jake, if they haven't had a chance to see it, and I will do the same. Shout out to everybody that's joining us in the YouTube chat. I got to go. Let me see if I can find y'all, my homies. How come? Okay. Oh, look at this. They got Jakey as the thumbnail today, because we're discussing. Jakey. All right, so before we start breaking down Jake's all-in bats, Matt Medica, you want to speak about the coverage of the League of Alternative, the League of Alternative Baseball Realist, whatever, draft. Labor. Let's just call it labor. Like,
just call it.
You're in a silly Lenny Melnick joke. I'm in labor at labor. Please don't say that one again today, Lenny.
I don't know. I'll start off with when I hear, like, Gary Sanchez is going to be a second-round pick this year. Gary Sanchez has pretty much been a second-round pick all of the year. I can't kill Dr. Roto for the pick. There's no way I don't start Career and Bryant, but that's not here or there. I found it odd that, you know, Jake was getting some heat on the broadcast, and the guy just won last year.
Mm-hmm.
Dominated the guy who was in it last year that's not in it this year that was giving commentary. But was kind of
Let's say, who was it?
Well, I mean, Bender was giving shade to Jake's team. Yeah.
Bender was throwing shade on Jake.
Beat him down so hard, he's not even in the league this year.
Yeah. It's like, wait, you're not even in. Like, it's one of the things that I hold against these expert leagues is, like, the second half of the league should get, like, demoted. You should have to have something. You shouldn't be invited back every year just because you're somebody's friend. If you're going to call yourself an expert league, people have to, you know, get cut. And, you know, like, have a G League or whatever they do in, like, soccer or something like that.
Yeah, well, you got to be, yeah. Like.
When I heard this comment in the third round, Jacob DeGrom and Noah Syndergaard go off the board in the third round, and they're both injury risk. Jacob DeGrom is one of 21 pitchers to throw 190 innings multiple times over the last 3 years. So if Jacob DeGrom is an injury risk, then pretty much every single pitcher is an injury risk. Do you want to say Syndergaard's an injury risk? Yes, I get that. And for this format, I think it's the perfect player to take. If I was in a league like this, I'm going to take a Syndergaard. One, because the upside is winning, and that's it. That's what you want to do. And if Syndergaard pitches 170 innings or more, he should be one of the best top five pitchers in baseball. Okay?
Right.
So for that, why not take Syndergaard? And you can trade also. That's another thing. But to call DeGrom that just like blew my mind on that. You know, just I don't care. You want to critique people's thing. But I didn't get it. You know, I think Jake started out really solid. It wasn't until maybe the fifth round with the Murphy pick which I understand why you take Murphy. And look, Dave Potts still seems to be in on Dave on David Murphy. So when you know
Daniel Murphy,
Daniel Murphy, I'm freaking calling him David.
Dave Potts, Daniel Murphy.
But I mean. Otherwise, that was some of the flaws. But shout out to Steve Gardner. He did have you back on the broadcast.
All right, so here we go, all in, kid. Let's get ready. First, I give you a chance. I don't know if you were listening to the broadcast or not last night, but our buddy, friend of the program, friend of my guy, Brian Ambose, tweeted out this morning that it was quite disappointing seeing the labor, listening to the labor draft, looking at the draft board. He felt as if labor was a place he would do research for his own leagues. He feels as if a lot of the experts were not prepared for fantasy baseball yet. Did you come away feeling the same way
about the entire draft as a whole? Look, there's a few, we already said this at the top, there's a few where I questioned the decisions that were being made last night. And to what Matt said, I don't know, sometimes people get caught up in wanting to look more of, hey, look, I made these picks, look at me. Or maybe there's because it's such an early draft. I mean, we are talking about the middle of February still. Mm-hmm. And I know the high stakes leagues are drafting, but most typical home leagues aren't. And even the, you know, Tout Wars isn't until the middle of March. So maybe some people are trying to project things and saying, all right, well, you're going to have to pay up for these guys in 3 weeks. And I'm taking them where you're going to have to take them. Whatever it may be. I definitely left the draft with about two or three teams where I was like, I just don't know what they were doing.
Real quick, Chick, this is still an average league labor?
Yeah.
Okay. See, and that's the point here that I think I'll piggyback with Brian. Like with labor, you can take a lot more from labor. If it's average, it's a 15-team mixed draft. So on that point, I think everybody that is involved in this needs to be at the top of their game when they come into this. It wasn't like they didn't know there wasn't that there was going to be a draft on February 12th or whatever the hell, February 13th, whatever yesterday was. It wasn't like they didn't know this. And this, for a lot of people, like Brian said, they're going to look at this and take this as something that, you know, a board to build on maybe. So I think if you're going to be in it, you're going to consider yourself whatever. I really don't like the term expert, but whatever.
You know what? Let me talk right here. Before we get into Jake's team, you know, let's talk directly to the Goon Squad. You know what I'm saying? Those of you that are in there, thanks for rocking with us. Thanks for hanging with us, Goon Squad. Do you take, like, when you're getting ready and prepared for baseball, do you take drafts like labor and tout wars and stuff like that? Do you study these drafts and build your teams around how the experts in these drafts build their teams? Or do you, like, you know what? I'll look over the board. I got the eighth pick. Jake had the eighth pick. Let me see how he put it together. Or do you, like, not pay him no attention at all? I would almost think that as savvy as today's fantasy owner is, they really don't pay no attention at all.
I think they do. I think people still do. Especially like this one here. Like, I don't know how Tout Wars helps people with the, you know, with OBP and stuff. I'm not averse to play. Look, I'm tell people play whatever the hell you want to play it. But if you're going to make market something that's supposed to help people and show things, I don't really know how that translates when the majority are still. I know some do play OBP. But I think they're trying to cater to not the super, super diehard, the guy that's playing in a regular type league.
Right. Which is why that's the whole thing with flex. That's why we still have a full non-PPR, a full PPR, and then the one flex is the one that we're trying to change things in super flex. Because you're right, Matt. David Gatos has said this from day one when we started flex. When, you know, he's one of the guys behind it with me. And I kept saying, like, let's do a half-point PPR. Let's do a super flex. And he's like, you can't, because everybody paying attention is not going to know anything how to apply it to their home league, and you're going to lose people from interest.
All right, so there you go right there. I guess the one that's really jumping out is how, you know, I think Doc's my man, and I love Doc, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of people are very like, yo, what is up with Dr. Roto with that first pick of the second round, probably the 16th overall pick of the draft, taking Gary Sanchez there. Listen, see, I know Doc. You know what I'm saying? Dr. Roto, and I love Doc. Doc can tell you this himself. Dr. Roto is the type of guy that he wants to dominate what people are talking about in social media after the draft is done. He wants to have the team that everybody's talking about. He wants to have the team that's trending because he made the wildest pick. So he wants to keep Dr. Roto at the top of everybody's mouths. That's how you win the draft. So I think Dr. Roto was doing more of that rather as so much just drafting Gary Sanchez early.
You know what that got him last year?
It got him what? Let's be fair. He did get sick last year. He did get sick last year. So, but I think Dr. Odell finished dead last year.
I don't know if it was dead last. I know it was near the bottom.
It was near the bottom.
No, because No, you can say be fair. I'm not going to be fair because he came for me.
Okay, if he came for you, then
we'll I'll tell you when we come back from the break.
If he came for Jake, then he gotta take his medicine too. So we come back on the other side. We'll start to get into the All In Kids teams. We'll get all the controversy out the way. We'll start to break it down. We got the grade coming up a little bit later on. Happy Valentine's Day, Goon Squad. If nobody tells you, the fantasy exec did.
The sharpest fantasy sports minds are now available 24/7 straight from your mobile device. Download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app and listen live or on demand to the finest tips, strategies, and advice from your favorite fantasy personalities. It's free and available for both iOS and Android devices. Your life isn't slowing down, so why should your fantasy sports? Head to fntsy.com/radio and download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app today.
Little Jigga Jay-Z coming back from the break. We got to start to get ready to get into breakdown Team Sealy. Probably get started on that right here.
Well, let's go
segment.
To Dr. Roto came from.
Where? Sirius XM? No, he came from here.
No, started here. Through shade.
Oh, no, that's
right. You got a 30-second memory.
Yeah, no, I was going to get into that. I had that coming. I was going to wrap up the controversy, and then we'll start to break down the all-in team. I like that, the all-in team. All right, Jake, do you love Dr. Roto as much as I do?
No.
Okay.
I like him.
I worked with Dr. Roto every day for many years. It was Dr. Roto, not the easiest guy to work with, but still
I
left.
I consider him a friend in the industry.
Yeah, still left with a mutual respect for Dr. Roto. Now, how did Doc come at you last night? I was going to say Doc is not the type to come at people, but then again, Doc is the type to come at people. Doc came on the radio and ripped everybody in the draft except himself. But what happened, Jake?
He did it really sneakily, underhanded too. And this is a few weeks ago, and somebody I only found out about it and went back to listen because somebody tweeted me that Mish and was on SiriusXM and they were talking about labor from last year and they're talking about league winners and stuff like that. And I think they're talking about you again, which they kind of really were. Mish was just talking about the fact that some people get in these leagues and never win anything and do what Matt was saying is kind of go into the draft and make it look more about them than trying to win the leagues, and that it comes to a level of respect. And then they had Dr. Roto on because they were going into Dr. Roto and Ronis's show and they were talking about my winning labor last year and they were giving me credit for it. And Dr. Roto throws in this little commentary that you didn't catch it if you weren't paying attention, but he goes, yeah, it's good credit to Jake. He's a great guy. Some of the trades, though, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. That's all I'll leave it with some of those trades.
Oh, so
yeah. So he made it out to be like, if it wasn't for some of these sneaky, apparently, trades or under, I don't know what it called. Maybe not saying that, or just questionable that somebody was helping me out. Meanwhile, he traded with me. He was actually the last person I traded with. So I traded with him the day before the deadline. He was the last person I traded. So I traded with him, and he tried to make it out because of the trades is why I won the league, which I think he's talking about the two trades I made with Stefania, which actually one of them I ended up losing the trade slightly. The other one I significantly won because somebody got hurt, and so that happened. Injuries are injuries. But he was just kind of making it out to be I won because I made some trades that he didn't like.
Oh, so Dr. Roto was trying to give him an underhanded compliment there, Matt.
Yeah, the backhanded compliments.
All right, so let's go in on the pick right quick. Then we get to Jake. Gary Sanchez is the 16th player going off the board. You don't like it? You think it's a bad pick?
No. Here's the thing. I would have went Chris Bryant. I can make a case for Gary Sanchez. You know, what did he hit? 30-plus homers, 30 homers. He missed time last year. Mm-hmm. If Gary Sanchez... And I get the advantage you get with a catcher. I just don't want to take a catcher. And I know he missed time and still put up those numbers. And he's got Stanton now in the lineup and stuff. I just can't take the risk. It's just too much of a chance of getting beat up and beat down. And I can't pass on a Chris Bryant there to pretty much go Correa Bryant.
Was it the worst pick of the draft, Jake? Dr. Otto taking
no. Oh,
okay.
No, there's plenty of others, but I definitely would not. I had this conversation with Chris Towers on Twitter yesterday from CBS. We were talking about the fact of where the 12th ranked player at each position ranks overall in fantasy, where the 18th, 24th, and everything like that. And his point was the catcher, the 12th ranked catcher, ends up being like, I think it was 300 and something.
Wow.
Where everybody else is in the 80s and 90s at every other position, except for first base. His first base is actually more in the 50s and 60s. So that was the one point, is that if you look at it, most every single position you're going to get around the same, and to take the best player available was his point, except for catcher and first base. First base is deeper. Catcher is obviously significantly worse. And then I said, this is why I hate two catcher leagues. And he actually pointed out the 24th catcher was like 600th overall or something like that. It's like how ridiculous it is. But his point was about Sanchez, because of what he brings you such a significant edge. It's even better than Posey. That being said, there's no way on earth I'm taking him at 16. I was considering taking him in the third round just for fun and just because of that conversation. There is no way I was considering him in the first 30 picks.
I do think he's a second rounder. I just can't take him. I think he's definitely a top 30 player. I just can't take him at 16.
But lower top 30, like, you wouldn't have would you have taken him in the middle of the second round?
I can make the argument. I'm just never going to take a catcher in the second round.
That's not his thing.
It's just not going to happen. So, like I said, the stat-wise, if he plays the games, even last year, like you said, he missed time and he still did it. It's just a catcher. You're just asking, you're asking too much, in my opinion.
All right, so here we go. Jake, yesterday on the program, we were talking about who you would take, and you said that you had a guy that you were specifically looking for there. I think we kind of put two and two together, understood, and it was Giancarlo Stanton. It was the guy you were wanting to scoop up in the first round. How high would you have taken Stanton?
Stanton was actually, for hitting purposes, according to my rankings, everything like that, he's third highest. Mm-hmm. I would take him as the third hitter off the board. I think the move to Yankee Stadium, I think everything you saw, for the fact of the freak injuries, is what we've always said with him. He's not injury prone. He's just injury unlucky. And that's what it comes down to. I would take Stanton. I told Corey that yesterday. I would take Stanton over Blackman. I would have taken him over Arenado. So basically the fourth, I probably would have went Turner. Easily because of the steals and Altuve. So actually fourth overall. Second outfielder behind Trout.
All right. Then you come back in the second round. You get Aaron Judge. You start off with two New York Yankees. I knew you were not expecting that.
I wasn't liking it either.
As the clock is ticking down and it's coming down the board back in your direction, and you're thinking, oh my God, I'm going to take Aaron Judge and start with these two Yankees. What was you hoping? Okay, don't take this guy so I can take Aaron. So I don't have to take Aaron Judge. Was it like, I can't believe I'm doing this? Like, I want to know. Take me inside a New York Met fan starting out with two power New York Yankee bats.
Well, I can tell you, it started early in the second round, because after taking Stanton, I was like, I want to get Votto at first base. Votto is continually underrated outside of OBP leagues, where he finally gets respect, but people are finally starting to give him respect. So he went second pick, or third pick in the second round. So I'm like, all right, well, there goes that out the door. So now I'm like, yeah, you know what? Maybe I'll go Lindor. Maybe I'll go Rizzo. We'll see what kind of comes down. And both those went back-to-back right before me. So now I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, good God, Judge is sitting there. And I was like, Judge should be around 15, 16 off the board. And I'm just sitting there. Like, I actually did this. Like, this is one of the few times I let the clock tick down like 40 seconds. Usually I'm bang. I already have my pick. I pick immediately. I hate people who sit there and do what I did. But it's like two Yankees, Aaron Judge. I can't take D. Gordon in the second round. I was just like, fine, whatever, screw it. And I hated myself.
All right, there you go right there. Matt Medica, Giancarlo Stanton, and Aaron Judge to start. And then I want your comment on what he just said. I can't take D. Gordon in the second round.
There's another thing I'm really not. I made the argument previously earlier in the show that he is more of a three-category player than a one-category player that he kind of gets labeled for.
Talking about Gordon?
D. Gordon.
Uh-huh.
That said, I still don't really want to go that route.
Like
a catcher
round.
In that, I'm in the middle of the second round.
I mean, Jay could have had the guy that hit the most home runs and the guy that had the most steals if he took D. Gordon.
Yes, you could set it up that way. I'm fine if that's the route you want to go and you want to build from there. You are giving yourself 50, 60 stolen bases and 50, 60 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty damn good start. So I'm not going to knock that. I have no problem going Stanton and Judge here. Once you went Stanton and you can back him up with Aaron Judge, and give yourself.
It's like, don't check your swing. If you're going to win the power category, go ahead and win the power category.
And look, the other options were Jose Ramirez went right after him. That's somebody I would have liked, J.D. Martinez. But look, my only problem with Judge is the average is not the power. So just go all in at that point.
Third round, you take your first pitcher off the board and Noah Syndergaard. We'll look at the pitching on this team a little bit later on. Round four, you come back and you take A.J. Pollock. A.J. Pollock, for a few years, lived kind of right on that 1-2 turn. Injuries have been a very difficult thing for him to deal with. You like Pollock going into this year, so you start out with three outfielders.
Yep, and this is actually the fourth round. Is the immediate moment where I said, you know what, screw it. I'm going all in. I'm having fun. I mean, like, A.J. Pollock plays 150 games. We already talked about him last week. He could be a league difference maker. We all know that. We know what Pollock brings, and he brings five categories, which can get me 20, 30 stolen bases if he plays, 150 games. So I said, you know what? Forget it. I'm going to have fun with this draft. I didn't want to start with two damn Yankees. I didn't want to start with Judge and Stanton. So at this point, like, you know what? I'm going to go for the upside here of Pollock. And then when we get to, there's another pick, actually in round seven, where it was just the point where, like, there's no way I can keep letting him slide. So I was already all in at that point.
Jake, let me ask you this. Was anybody besides A.J. Pollock close to being your selection in this round?
Not really, because Billy Hamilton went two picks earlier. Okay. I would have hated that pick because I hate how early Billy Hamilton goes. Like, even with how many he stole last year, if you look at where he finished value-wise, he wasn't even in the top 20 outfielders. That's truth. If you go back and you look at the pure value. That being said, because I had power, and I didn't get D. Gordon, and you see my draft now, that's the one thing I'm severely lacking. I'm going to have to make moves for speed this year. I would have considered Billy Hamilton at that point.
Three outfielders, Matt Medica and Noah Syndergaard through four rounds.
Oh, I think we kind of touched about this earlier, too, like last week or earlier this week. Outfield is shallow. Everybody thinks it's, like, so deep. First off, you know, there's 15 teams. Yep. There's five outfielder spots. Some people are going to use outfield in the utility, so that just makes it more. So it's a minimum of 75 to 90, upwards of 90 outfielders. Just could be in a starting lineup. It's not going to happen 90, but I'm just making that point. A.J. Pollock's a guy that I just love. I can't quit this guy. I took him in first pitch Arizona. I've taken him in my NFBC drafts. I'm not so crazy about the Humidor news that's breaking, but yeah, I think right where Jake got him. I don't care about the injury risk.
You don't care about that.
Hey, Corey, and I can tell you this personally from first-hand experience. The past all 4 years that have been in labor, the one thing after April, because there's usually about two or three that'll show up during April because that happens every after April, the hardest hitting position to find outside of catcher is always outfield. People are always scrambling for outfielders every single year in this league.
Right, so he's got three of them to start. Noah Syndergaard is the ace of the staff. Let you know what the rest of Team Sealy looks like. Talk about some more hitters, more pitchers. Still got the grade coming up from Matt Medica. You got your commentary. You want to chime in, 844-843-6879. It's FST Overtime.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Going over All In Kids team and his quest to defend his labor championship, labor mixed league fantasy baseball draft, roto style, 15 teams, 29 round draft. I think you have 22 starters. Is that correct?
23.
23 starters, six bench spots. It's a two catcher league. I know he's going in here and talking about this like y'all been listening to this forever. But this is
I think the start, the first four rounds we just went over. I think I'm totally on board with that. And I'm not really an Aaron Judge guy, but I do believe when you do go get Stanton, why not just back him up with that? So, but Pollock and Syndergaard to me in this format is probably the perfect pitcher to draft.
All right. So, there you go right there. So I lost track of what I was saying. Sorry. yeah, but that's the style of the majority of these experts leagues and stuff like that. Two catches, rotisserie, 15 teams. And that's, I mean, when we're talking and we're breaking down fantasy baseball drafts, this is normally what we're talking about. Unless you hear specifically talk saying we're talking about points leagues or categories, head-to-head, something like that, we always default to a 15, 12-team rotisserie league with two catchers. All right, Jake, let's get back in business right here. Daniel Murphy, yep. Jonas Cespedes, the next two offensive players to go off the board. I mean, to go to join Team Sealy.
Yeah, Daniel Murphy, just I'm somebody that's not off. Like, I don't know what Matt was saying before, but I still believe he's a top 50 player. And so I was going to get him there. I needed something out besides outfield at this point.
Yeah, you got your first infielder.
And the big thing here is the one appeal that Murphy really had for me is that he's going to pull my average up. So, you know, I was already getting a little bit offset to Aaron Judge. And, you know, I'm looking at that point to, you know, get somebody that, you know, there's other options, I think, in the same range that I could have looked at either, you know, to go at first base or anything. But everything I was looking at in that point, actually, my target went right before that.
That was going to be my question. If Will Myers was there, would you have taken Will Myers?
Yeah, Will Myers was in my queue and got taken right before. I got sniped a ton in this draft, mostly by DVR. I hate Derek Van Riper right now. I'm going to shank him when I see him at
top. Don't shank him.
The DVR is one of the nicest people in things.
Yeah, they don't shank DVR. You go to jail.
Here's my
for
thing
that.
With Daniel Murphy.
And you have prison.
My first NFBC draft, I drafted Daniel Murphy.
Yeah.
And I just don't think he's healthy right now. That's the thing. When I hit microfracture, I thought he was further along. So the reason I'm staying away right now is because I don't think he's healthy. He's 33. That scares me.
Uh-huh. Jake, let me ask you this now. When you got the three outfielders, you got the pitcher, at any point are you like saying, "Oh my God, where am I going to find this first baseman? Where am I going to find this third baseman?" Are you familiar with the board to the point where you're like, "Okay, I know I can pull this guy in this round. I know I can pull this guy in this round." Like, at any point, were you starting to worry about position scarcity?
No. The only thing I was starting to worry about was steals. And I still never got that because we could talk about it later. But at this point, it's like every single time I was going for somebody with cheap steals, like in the 18 to 25 range, every single time that round, he got taken right before he got to me. And the next person was such a far tier down that he was like another round, two, three rounds before he was worthy of being drafted, because now you're getting to the guys that's like, that's really all they brought. It was like a mediocre average and 20 steals. Well, you know, now we're talking about a two category player. Maybe if he gives you like a balance of runs and RBI. So like every single time I was thinking about putting somebody, and I had them in my queue, they got taken like two or three picks before me. So that's what happened with the steals. That's the only thing I worried about. And I just got bit. That's just why I hate snake drafts.
Was Aaron Nola a consideration in the fifth?
No, actually, I'm not as big as a fan. I know you love Aaron Nola, and mostly because I had a feeling that my next pick was going to be there when we start talking about pitching.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let me ask you this, Matt. Slow draft as opposed to being on the clock. When you're in the slow draft and you're putting it together, you kind of got time to think it out and go through it and stuff like that. When you're on the clock and we're doing this live and the picks are coming in hot and heavy, position scarcity, do you know where the players are going to be at? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, when you're putting it together in your head when you're live.
Yeah, no, I kind of know where I got to get certain guys.
Where you're going to get certain guys.
Where guys
like
look, once we go live,
basically, what I want to ask you is this. Say you have use Jake's team as an example, and you get into you get into the fifth round. You got the Murphy pick. You know you want to take Ohtani in six. Now what are you thinking? Okay, where am I going to get first base? If you're Jake Sealy, and you're thinking where am I? And your mind says, where's my first baseman going to come from? What's the first thing that you think?
I'm going to be looking, you know, Will Myers would have been the guy. So he missed on Will Myers. So now I know I'm probably going to be waiting a couple of rounds for a first base.
Okay, so you don't like what's in the next tier?
If I had more, say my team, say Jake took a Joey Votto. Say Votto was there for him.
Okay.
And he went Stanton Votto. I would be more inclined to say I can, a guy I want to have shares of and a guy that I can get a Joey Gallo.
Okay.
A couple of rounds later. Even if I got to take
I don't see Jake as a Joey Gallo guy, though.
I'm just saying. Well, okay. You asked me.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
Well, also because that's not the way I started. Joey Gallo was pretty much off my board at that point.
Yeah, that's true too.
No, I'm saying he went Judge. I mean, that's why I used the if he went Freeman or Votto. So
okay.
Say they were there for him. I would have been looking to say, because I mean, who do you have the guys? Matt Olson.
Yeah. What I'm asking is, when you start a certain way, when you start the way Jay started, do you have it already in your mind? Okay, I know I can snipe this first baseman in this round.
Yeah, have ideas. You have these guys going off. I know, like, you know, 13th round. If I want, like, a lot of people like, say, Orlando Arcia, Jorge Polanco.
So you know where the guys are going to be at.
They're going, like, around the 13th round. So if I don't have a shortstop, if I don't take an Arcia or Polanco in the 13th round in the drafts that I've been doing, I know either next round, I better take Amed Rosario, who I do like, or 15th round at the latest. I know I'm going to have to make that move. Otherwise, who's going to be my shortstop?
So you always have guys in mind when you're going through your roster construction as far as putting the team together, as far as positions and stuff like that.
But if there's a player that I like and I think should have gone prior and say false, I don't care about the position scarcity. If I think he's the best player on the board and I can't pass him up, even if I needed somebody else at that point, I'll make it work later on.
All right, cool. All right, so let's get into this rotation. Noah Syndergaard and Ohtani are the first or the top two starters, Jake. Obviously, we know what Syndergaard is. What is your thinking with Ohtani? We do here today. Well, I think when that news came out that he's going to be a part of a six-man rotation. But we were looking at about 140 to 150 innings anyway for Ohtani. And you're comfortable with that as an SP2?
No, I actually have him about 160, 165. But the same thing. I've been on the same page as Matt this entire time. So I'll take 160 innings of elite production versus, you know, 200 of a Jeff Samardzija these days. Although Jeff Samardzija did get the strikeouts last year. So maybe he's not the best point. But you understand what I'm trying to say here is the fact that I have no problem understanding that I'm not going to get the innings, but at the same time, I'm going to get the production.
Efficient.
And one thing that I have to... Yeah, and one thing I've also done in this, because it's not quality starts, it is wins, is I've always chased ERA and WHIP. I'm not trying to chase wins. If I get wins, I get wins. If I don't, I don't. I can try and make moves during the season, try to chase them. But, you know, last year, you know, I got Arrieta and Lester. And Arrieta and Lester should have had combined 30-plus wins. They didn't. And that's what you run into. Chasing wins is a fool's errand. I still did well because I finished near the top in ERA and I was number one in WHIP. I always go with that route because that's the predictable part of this when it comes to pitching, and strikeouts are there with Ohtani too.
Now, quick on Ohtani, is he now you can use him both as a pitcher and a hitter in labor?
Yeah, actually, but you have to declare before the week. Though.
Okay, so does change it for me that you do have that dual option. I mean, I've been in the NFC, he's just a pitcher, and I'm basically drafting him, for the most part as a pitcher. But when you do have that option, that changes it for me.
What would his position be as a hitter? Where can you play him as a hitter?
It's going to be DH, I believe.
That's
to start. Yeah, I don't think he's going to really play the field.
Okay, he's not going to have no field. It makes sense. He's getting hurt on the field.
That's why they want Pujols to play first base two or three times a week, so he can DH.
Now, as far as pitchers go, did you have any thoughts about Garrett Cole, who went off the board after him? Who went off the board after Ohtani?
I thought about it, but I prefer Ohtani. I'm not a big Cole guy. We've actually had the discussion before. I like him, and I think that he could be better with, but I think he's getting a little bit overrated.
All right, Matt, I want to. Jake said he thinks he can get 160 out of Ohtani.
I think that's the max for him. Okay. I know I've heard people say 180. Look, if he got 180, that's great. I think that's like saying, I think Stanton can hit, 67 home runs. If he plays 162 games, there is a possibility Giancarlo Stanton could hit 67 games playing in the stadium, or 67 home runs. I'm not going to bank on that. I'm going to say he's pretty much a lock if he plays 150 games for 50 home runs, and 60-plus is reality.
All right, now, excuse me on this one right quick, but Ken Giles and Alex Colome, those are your two closers, right?
Yep.
All right, cool.
I
just wanted to make sure. I knew Giles was a closer. I wasn't sure on Colome.
Here's my thing on Giles. The skills are elite. They are.
He's playing for the Astros, right?
And he's playing for the best team in baseball.
I'm about to say the Rockets.
I mean, and look, we saw what happened in the playoffs. But it's not even the playoffs. It seems like every year he seems to lose his job. And I've been a Giles guy. This is the first year where I've kind of stepped back. Because I'm just afraid that bullpen is so deep now. They have so many arms. That's my concern there. And the other guy you took, too, Colome, excellent skills. He was excellent. I just think Tampa Bay's trading him at some point this year. And maybe they don't trade him to the break, which would be fine. But that's my only problem with those relievers. I think skills.
Are you fine with the rounds? Giles and eight.
Oh, yeah, the rounds are fine.
And Colome and 10.
Yeah, the rounds are fine.
All right, cool. So there you go, right there. That is.
And plus, like I said, Blake Parker. I think people are dismissing the fact that he has a chance to be the closer.
No, he should be it should be his to lose going in.
Los Anaheim Angel Blake Parker.
But the one thing, Mike Socia, and I learned this the hard way last year. I mean, he did get injured and he didn't perform well on Cambridge Rosian. But Socia is a sociopath, psychopath. Whatever you want to say, he's crazy. Like, you're not going to be surprised if Jim Johnson. But where he got Parker, I'm totally cool with. Why not get a third reliever there? Right. I mean, a third closer.
Still got some more pieces we want to talk about, but the I got to do them reads too. Still got some more pieces
to talk about for tomorrow.
We want to talk about for the All In team. You know the Roto Experts pod to be up next, so I'm quite sure we'll do some more labor stuff there. It's FST Overtime right here on the Fantasy Sports Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
My guy, Brian Ambrose, tweeted out, it was quite disappointing listening to the labor draft, looking at the draft board. He felt as if labor was a place he would do research for his own leagues. He feels as if a lot of the experts were not prepared for fantasy baseball yet.
I don't know. Sometimes people get caught up in wanting to look more of, hey, look, I made these picks, look at me. Or maybe there's because it's such an early draft. Whatever it may be, I definitely left the draft with about two or three teams where I was like, I just don't know it.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize, smaller fields, and single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NHL and NBA free rolls every week. Free entry. Simply enter, sign up, fantasyfactor.com. Single entry contests only, not to mention flatter prize pools, smaller fields, fantasyfactor.com, NHL, and NBA free rolls. Free entry every week. Jake, some more of the people on the All-In team. Let me find it again right here.
I do wish Jake would have been wearing that crown we have on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, that would have been nice. Today. Carlos Santana.
We got time tomorrow, too, Corey. You're always looking for content.
This is correct. I certainly am.
You can put little teasers on.
Uh-huh, I certainly am.
Can I just say something real quick about this board? I would have been I'm going to draft my own guys, but, like, looking at where players went, as to where I've been, like, drafting guys, it's totally there. It's like somebody threw, like, paint on it. It just got some buckets in it.
Really? Your boards don't
Matt
look
Carpenter
like this.
Matt Carpenter went in the sixth round. I still like Matt Carpenter.
That was actually the worst pick you were talking about before, Corey. Where
really?
You said
that was the worst pick.
I was like, whoa. I don't know. There's just some of this. I don't like to be mean and stuff, so I'm not going to really do that. But there's a lot of people here that I'm just seeing, like, well before, I don't know. Maybe it's just a different thing. Maybe it's just that the pitching gets pushed back so further. Look, I would lose my mind if I saw Jacob DeGrom in the fourth round. I mean, to get Kluber and DeGrom 1-4 is pretty sick.
All right. There you go right there. You heard it from Matt Medica. It's not going to look like this. When you get down to your other leagues, Matt, you don't really do too many 12-team leagues though. Anyway, right? You did one another day though, right?
I did the Crystal. Yeah, I'll usually do like just a couple. I did that one, maybe a partner with Vlad and one. You know, I was hoping to take down that 12-team league last year. That would have been nice with Vlad. It would have been like, that would have been 100K, but that didn't happen. We finished 17th.
Can we talk about round 7, Corey?
All right, let's go. You want to talk about round 7. Let me find round 7. And Jonas Cespedes joined the All-In team in round 7.
Yeah, so I don't know if Matt was still listening. This is basically when they said I need a personal trainer in the IR room for my team, because it's true.
Oh, yeah, they even had
but it's true. Like,
I like this. Is the point.
Well, that's what I'm saying. At round 7, I didn't want to add more injury risk to my team, but round 7, he's still there on the board, and I'm looking at him like, I can't let Cespedes go any further. This is insane at this point. So this is, like I told you, at round 4, where I'm like, screw it, I'm all in, I'm going to have some fun this year. When Cespedes was still there at round 7, I was just like, I doubled down on it. I'm like, dude, I am all in. This team is either going to win me the league, and I'm going to run away with it, or, like I said, by June, I'm going to be very invested in football.
I mean, with the outfielders that were there, it would have been, for me, if I was taking an outfielder, at that spot, looking at the board here, it would have been between Cespedes and Ryan Braun. And look, Ryan Braun's a risk, but if Ryan Braun has, you know, a swan song season in Milwaukee with that, you know, couple of guys he's got in front of him now.
All right, there you go. Jake, who's Nick Williams?
Outfielder for the apparently go Phillies also, by the way. Like, I'm rooting for the Yankees, Mets, and Phillies this year.
And the Nationals, too.
Here's another guy. I heard a comment like on the seventh round, Louis Castillo is a sleeper or something.
Yeah.
Of Louis Castillo, everybody knows him. And he's pretty much going in the sixth round, like in most drafts. So I think that was great to get him where they got him. Who took him again? Oh, here it is. Zola. Just get him in the, you know, almost, you know, middle of the seventh round.
That knew what he, that know what he doing. Got in trouble for that before, though. Oh, Matt Madika.
Nick Williams has a great bat. Nick Williams could be, he could actually provide it. Like, the fact that him and Altair both went as late as they did, I was shocked.
That's what I like what he did there. He took both of them so you protected yourself.
So, Matt, you going to do the podcast? Yeah. We got to get, okay, so we'll get the all-in grade on the podcast. Mr. Sussman will make his way back up here. We'll take a few break. We'll come back. We'll do Roto Experts right here on FNTSY. And then after that, I'll probably go home. We out.